All set?
We're good? Nope. Okay. That's good. Yeah? Hello. Good morning. All right. So, I was thinking about what to share on, and we're going to share on repentance today. And I was thinking this morning about some giants in my past. And this isn't just relating to this morning's message, but to every message we hear. You guys have a choice today. And the choice you have is, do you want to hear what I have to say and then go about life? And say, that was nice, that was kind of cool, all right, and then move on. Or, do you want to hear what I have to say, go home, think about it, look it up, ponder it, and have your life changed by the things that are shared? And Sig taught us that the more you want to get out of your walk with Jesus, the more you will get out of your walk with Jesus. And I don't mean want in the sense of, yeah, I'd like that. I mean, the more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. And then the second thing I wanted to share was Dave Luxett was here one Sunday many years ago when I shared. And after I shared, he said something to me that kind of struck me. He said, you know, you seem really sincere. And I said, thank you. And we talked a little bit after that. Well, what struck me about it was, the question is, am I sincere? Are you sincere? Or do you just seem sincere? Because it's easy to come up here and share God's word in some ways, because you can just read God's word. And there it is. But are you sincere? Has it changed your life? So anyway, that's kind of where I'm going to take us. You guys know I like words and I like definitions, and we're going to really get into the word repent a little bit. I looked it up in about 6 different books. So we started with Merriam-Webster. Repentance is the action or process of repenting. That always is helpful, isn't it? Especially for misdeeds or moral shortcomings. Synonyms for repentance, and they're not all great synonyms: contriteness, contrition, guilt, penitence, regret, remorse, rue, self-reproach, and shame. Antonyms are impenitence and remorselessness. Repent means to turn from sin, and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. To feel regret or contrition, to change one's mind, to cause to feel regret. Easton's, which is a Bible dictionary, says repent means to turn or return, to turn from evil, and to turn to the good. Returning to God. Confession of sins, it's a command. It's frequently illustrated when one is guilty of various sins. He must confess in what way he has sinned in order to receive atonement and forgiveness. Thus, confession belongs to repentance. There's 4 words in the Bible for repentance. The Old Testament words for repentance are necham and shub. Necham means to be sorry, to regret, to have pity or compassion. And that's an emotion, like when you say, I'm sorry. And this is the word used in Job 42:6, where Job responds to God in the final chapter. And he very humbly says, therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, the other word used over 1,000 times in the Old Testament is shub. And this word expresses a radical change of mind towards sin. It implies a conscious moral separation from sin and a decision to forsake it and agree with God. It indicates turning from evil to God. Shub is the commitment to a faith and a way of life that involves turning from a previous way. A change of commitments may be preceded by nechem, where you have an agonizing conviction of sin. But repentance is the about face, the 180 degree turn of a new commitment. John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God in Mark 1:15 and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Isaiah says, "The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins." In the New Testament, the key term for repentance is metanoia. There's another word, metanoio. And there's two usual senses of the word. One is a change of mind or a change of attitude, and the other is regret or remorse and to change direction. Jesus began his public proclamation with the call to repent. Paul preached to turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And I'll just pause here and make a statement that's clear, which is repentance is necessary for salvation. Okay? There's stars around that in my little neat things. Stop. So, the motives for repentance. What are our motives for repentance? The goodness of God, divine love, the pleading desire to have sinners saved. That's our pleading desire to have sinners saved. The inevitable consequences of sin, we realize what they are. The universal demands of the gospel. The hope of a spiritual life and membership in the kingdom of heaven. True repentance leads a person to say, "I have sinned," and prove it with a complete change of their direction in all aspects of their life. Repentance requires true brokenness. Repentance is not asking the Lord for forgiveness with the intent to sin again. Repentance is an honest, regretful acknowledgement of sin with a commitment to change. Repentance leads to the cultivation of godliness while eradicating habits that lead to sin. So repentance is more than contrition. Contrition is showing sorrow and remorse for a sin or a shortcoming. Being apologetic. Like when someone gets caught doing something and says, "I'm sorry." And maybe they are sorry. They're sorry they got caught. And they may be sorry that they did something wrong. But if they're honest with themselves, they might do it again, given the same situation. Jeremiah 42 is a good example of contrition without repentance. I wanted to read you the whole thing, but it's pretty long. So if you want, you can read Jeremiah 42. It's really good. So all the captains of Judah came to Jeremiah and said, "Please ask God what we should do." They were sorry for not doing that earlier. They promised that they would do whatever God said. And Jeremiah said, "Okay, I'll take your petition to God." And it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And God said, "Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you go to Egypt, I will punish you." So what did Judah do? They had already decided to run from the king of Babylon down to Egypt. And what did God do? He fulfilled his promise. They died there by the sword, by pestilence, and by famine. Being sorry for their sin was not enough to receive the blessing. Turning to God, being obedient to his word, is required for the blessing. We're currently watching a series called That the World May Know by a teacher named Ray Vanderlaan. And he teaches about the perspective we can gain from the study of the Bible in the Holy Land. Now, the hills of Israel have sheep trails, and the paths are narrow, and they go along the side of a steep hill. And you can look at the hill and you can see the sheep trails. And it's easy to wander off the path. You can either wander up, you can wander down, but the shepherd is leading the sheep. And the sheep are to stay on the path that the shepherd is on, or they might get lost. We follow a shepherd. Contrition is being sorry that we wandered off. Repentance is returning to the right path. Sometimes repentance means turning around 180 degrees to get back to the right path. And sometimes repentance means separation from the sheep that we're with on the wrong path. Repentance always means a change in direction. It usually means going directly to the correct path with no detours, immediately. When we repent, we have to confess our sins. We have to turn, and we have to return to the Lord and make plans to avoid the things that lead us into temptation. An easy example is the alcoholic who repents. He shouldn't spend any time in a liquor store, a bar, or the alcohol section of the grocery store. And the same can be said for the friends that one keeps. A person trying to avoid the use of drugs usually needs to make a new set of friends who don't participate in that lifestyle. Usually, repentance means we need to come to the end of ourselves. Another chapter for you to read. Lots of homework today. Is Deuteronomy chapter 32. I want you to read that on your own. The people of Israel were blessed by God when they were brought to the promised land. And Moses sings a song about the goodness of God and the weakness of man. Verse 36 says, "For the Lord will judge his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there's no one remaining, bond or free. The people have to be brought to their knees to repent. But they do, and God will have compassion on his servants." In verse 37, God says, "Where are their gods, the rock in which they sought refuge?" In Deuteronomy 32, God exposes the sin of his enemies. If you are following or taking refuge in other gods, you are an enemy of God. And the question I have for you today is, where do you take refuge? We're to seek God for our comfort daily. We do this by spending time in prayer, personally, with our family, and with God's people, his church. We find refuge in God's word. We need to be reminded often of God's promises. Most of us will sit and watch a movie for 2 hours, or a TV show for an hour, or me, a game, football, baseball, basketball, I'll watch a sport. We may spend time on our phone, looking at Yahoo, Google, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. But do we rest in our time with God, like we rest in these things? Repentance means to turn back, to change direction. Ponder your own life. What do you do in the morning? Do you start the day in prayer? Do you start the day reading God's word? You have your day's work. Do you pause to consider God's kingdom during your day? This is convicting when I read these things. Can anyone tell that you are God's citizen? That you are part of his kingdom by your words, by your attitude, by your actions? And then what happens when you return home? The work of life still needs to happen. It still needs to get done. Food needs to be cooked. Yards need to be cared for. Bills need to be paid. But do you have a godly attitude, even when you're tired? Are you easily frustrated or irritated? And then the hard question, do you want to spend time with God at night? Do you find rest with him? Or do you find stress with him? Repentance is the informing and changing of the mind, stirring and directing the emotions to urge the required change and the action of the yielded will in turning from sin and towards God. That's not mine. That's a quote from one of my Bible dictionaries. Repentance is the informing and changing of the mind, stirring and directing the emotions to urge the required change and the action of the yielded will in turning away from sin and towards God. Well, how does this work? How does this work in our daily life? Do you ever ponder your day? Your day. Do you spend time thinking about what you did that might require repentance? Do you honestly consider your sins? It's easy for me to pray for others. I can pray for my wife. I can pray for my mom. I can pray for my kids. I can pray for brothers and sisters and brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law. But recently I've been praying for Kip. Because Kip needs a lot of prayer. And when you do this, that's when you're considering things. What did you say wrong? What didn't you say that you should have? What did you do? What didn't you do that you should have? When you confess your sins, are you contrite and do you repent? Do you decide to change directions, to get back on the path, the one that's led by our shepherd? Repentance is important. Acts 17:30-31 says, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Repentance is necessary. God commands it. And without repentance, we are all dead. Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." Without repentance, we are left in sin and in death. Spiritual death is separation from God. Man without God is going his own way, without discipline. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to to his own way. Isaiah 53:6. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. But he laid upon him, the Lamb of God, the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6. To atone for our sin and make reconciliation to restore us to life. But we must turn back from going our own way to go his way. So how do we get to repentance? What makes us even know about our sin? So preaching the word, when we hear teaching, here's a good one, rebuke. When we are corrected by a friend. The goodness of God, we see a contrast with the world. Divine enabling. Ephesians 2:8 reminds us that God is at work in our lives. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And remember, grace is unmerited intervention of God on our behalf to impart by his power a spiritual enabling. Our minds are blinded to the truth, and the Holy Spirit opens the truth to us as we seek God. 2 Timothy 2:25 speaks of repentance as a gift. If perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they might know the truth. You know, we're supposed to ask for gifts. And when we ask for gifts, we get them. You guys probably remember, I talked about this before, that somebody said there's a big room in heaven full of gifts. And some people get there and say, what are all those? Well, those are all the gifts that I had for you, but you didn't ask for them. You know, I like gifts. So, there you go. So, when I was 19 years old, I decided to be baptized. I made a decision to change the direction of my life, to take a new path, and to follow Jesus. Everything seemed brand new to me that day, and the days that followed. I was going to UCLA at the time, and I have to tell you, the whole drive down was new. It was as if I had never seen it before. I saw buildings I had never seen. It turns out there's a hotel at the off-ramp. I'd never noticed. I'd been there 100 times. Well, my niece recently made the decision to be baptized. Interestingly, she's 19 years old. And this got me to think about how baptism changes your life. You declare publicly that you want to follow Jesus. And this is a drastic change. A change in direction. And as you go home today, ponder the path that you are on. See if there are any areas of your life where you need to turn, to return to God, to his ways, to the way. Amen.